The Book of Desire. A human being with a settled purpose must accomplish it. Nothing can resist a will, which will stake even existence upon its fulfillment. Quote by Benjamin Disraeli. Here's the summary. Desire is that emotion which turns thoughts into actual creations. In these tapes, you will see that desire is a learned emotion based on imagery and repetition. Furthermore, it is a positive emotion working toward what you perceive as good. Within these tapes lies the key to all success and achievement. The understanding and control of desire is the very basis of every leader, positive or negative, throughout history. All things begin with thoughts. The chair you are sitting on was first a thought in someone's mind. These words that you are hearing were first a thought in my mind. The actions you are now taking to become a leader, listening to these tapes, attending Sai seminars were first thoughts, and then, when desire was added, a reality. So it is with everything in your life. Think about it. Nothing, not a piece of food, nor a telephone call, nor a conversation, comes into your experience except first by way of thought. The phrase, thoughts are things, is a truth. Perhaps it would be even more clear if I said, thoughts are the only things. The understanding of this concept is the key to success, whether that success be in the form of riches, leadership, health, or spiritual awareness. These tapes, in fact, these manuscripts, are all about the understanding and putting to use of this single concept. If you truly understood this one concept, you would not be sitting here now. That is how powerful it is. Let me relate to you a part of my own experience, where you can see this concept in action and at the same time see how my thoughts affected thousands, including you. I refer to the very beginning of Sai back in 1973. At that time, all of Sai was but a single thought, that of liberty for mankind. Actually, I had had thoughts along this line for some time, general, nebulous ideas, which were more like hopes and wishes. In the summer of 1973, following the death of my tutor, I realized it was now time for action. I began taking the hopes and wishes and turning them into a definite, concrete idea. In my mind, I conceived of an organization dedicated to peace in our lifetime. I saw classes teaching people how to do this. I saw the need for buildings and for expansion of those buildings. I saw a network of people surrounding the world and lighting up that world. I heard the concept said in many languages by people of all nationalities and races. All this I did in my mind alone. At that time, there were no outward indications of my thought. I worked only with the help of my wife, without any financial support other than my own earnings. Through visualization, over and over again, this thought, with all the details I could conceive and imagine, an intense desire began to grow within me. Note, I said that the intensity of the desire grew. It did not start that way, but rather was the result of the visualization and imagining. With the desire also came the faith that this idea could be created. So I started to plan how I would organize the classes, what to include. During this time, my mind quite naturally gravitated toward books and people who were compatible with my thoughts. Thus, all the specialized knowledge I needed to put my plans into action was available. By December, my thoughts had grown to include about a dozen people. Then disaster struck, and those that had been with me left. But my thoughts, my visual images, continued. I refused to let them go despite all outward appearances. By February, all those who had left returned. They brought with them a stronger commitment and a greater energy. Thus, an apparent failure had turned into a significant forward thrust. The desire that burned within me now burned within several others. Exactly 20 months from when I had specifically formulated my thoughts, we, and I say we because now my thought had expanded into the minds of the others involved, moved into Casa Montana on High Valley Ranch, a multi-million-dollar complex in the beautiful coastal range of Northern California. We were able to do this despite having lost $70,000 on a project that did not work out. Today, High Valley Ranch serves as the world headquarters for Sai. The thought that I created in my mind several years ago is now a vital reality, one that has encompassed even you, for you are now beginning the exploration of that thought. Through this example, I hope you will glimpse the significant role of desire in the process of being successful and becoming a leader. Desire is an emotion, In fact, it is the emotion by which thoughts are turned into things. It is the underlying drive that enables you to face the negatives and apparent failures on your chosen path. The desire for liberty and for giving other people the opportunity to have liberty is the one thing that kept me going during the disappointments, the failures, and the bad times. And so it must be for you if you are going to turn your thoughts into reality. Let's look more closely at this emotion called desire, specifically at how to generate it. Actually, there are two types of desire that most people experience. There is the natural or instinctive desire as, for example, the desire to survive, have a family, love, sex, togetherness, and acceptance. The second type of desire is the created desire. Created desires would include the desire for a large home, for wealth, for a new car, for a plane, for designer clothes, etc. Created desires are conceived in the mind. The more we envision the thing we want, and the more we dwell on the positive aspects and benefits of this thing, the greater our desire for it will become. Desire is developed by dwelling on the positive, not the negative. To illustrate this, suppose you are a young lady or a young man who is about to finish high school. You have just started to think about college. You think about and feel the fun things you will do, the parties, the new friends, living away from home, the freedom to select classes. Intellectually, you will acknowledge the need to do homework, take tests, and go through ups and downs. But you do not admit these negatives on the emotional level. You only taste the diploma. You only taste the liberty it will give you, the companionship and newfound knowledge. As you think along these lines, within you will build the desire to attend college. The stronger that desire, the more obstacles you will be able to overcome to achieve your goal. Perhaps you will have to work to earn money for college, or perhaps you need to improve your grades or increase entrance exam scores. But always in front of you, in your mind, are the positive benefits of college. I know that most students drop out of college not from lack of ability or the difficulty of the work, but rather from disillusionment and the corresponding destruction of their desire. Desire is a positive thing. A person who desires a great deal is a person who dreams positively a great deal. The opposite is a person who dreams mostly negatively. The negative dreamer generates fears, not okayness, rejection, and all the opposite emotions to that of desire. Suppose our high school student above starts to dream negatively about college, starts to think about all the papers, the hard work, the tests, the competition, the unfairness in grading. The result would be a feeling that I'm not good enough or I won't make it. Carried to the extreme, this student might develop a strong negative, as seen by parents, desire to avoid seeking further schooling. I have said that desire is positive, so how is not seeking further schooling positive? Well, it is necessary to look at the end result for the student. The student is desirous of this, so it'll bring a positive thing, a feeling of okayness. Having a strong desire or being successful does not mean that you are going to feel great all the time. No matter how enlightened I become, I will not be positive all the time. You have to understand the swing of the pendulum. It must swing back and forth. The only other alternative is to sit still and neutral, which is precisely what most people do. By cutting off all their negative feelings, they experience neither the negative nor the positive. They are unfeeling. They do not like rejection, so they do not go out on a limb. They avoid insecurity by avoiding all risks. They run from loneliness by staying in their own sheltered world. In short, they have a disease called complacency. Theodore Roosevelt described this well when he said, "I pity the mediocre man who lives in the gray twilight of existence without knowing the agony of defeat or the thrill of victory." It is easier to turn a negative leader positive or turn a hater into a lover than it is to move the complacent off dead center. For this reason, a leader will respect a negative leader or even a hater more than the mediocre. If you feel at this point that your life has been tending to the mediocre, do not despair. The purpose of Psi and these tapes is to get your pendulum swinging. And if you follow directions, actively participating in all the exercises, it simply will happen. Let us start now with a simple exercise to demonstrate that desire is created. To actually experience the desire building in you, you must be willing to spend the next 10 minutes at this task. However, it will be a fun task. Remember, desire is positive. This will also show you a way to create good feelings and positiveness in your life. We think of vacations as being fun, producing good feelings. So I want you to conceive of the greatest vacation in a lifetime. Start now and do this with me. Pick a spot someplace on the earth that you picture as being the greatest vacation in the world. Write it down. Now visualize the place. See exactly what it is like with you there, the colors, the excitement, the sounds of this specific spot. Spend as much time as you need to actually do this. The moment you started to visualize your ideal vacation spot, your feelings began to change. Thus, no matter how negative or disappointed you were before, your feelings have begun to change right now. They are not the same as they were a moment ago. Your brain, the subconscious mind, is an idiot. It doesn't know the difference between fact and fantasy. The subconscious makes no distinction between the two. Only the conscious mind does that. That is why you can wake up from a dream in a sweat or screaming. To your subconscious mind, your ideal vacation is a reality. We are our subconscious minds. So to change, to create a positive desire, we need to start conditioning our subconscious mind. That is, we need to change our thought processes. By controlling our thought processes, we can change the reality of what we are now to a different reality. We can do this now using your dream vacation. However, we will need a checkpoint. So write down how you feel right now. What is reality for you at this moment? Reality is only in the now. Thus, what you wrote down is past, and it is already a new now. We must measure reality in seconds, not days or years. Change the reality for you in the now simply by making a decision. Write down at this time when you want to take your vacation. Make it realistic within your present time commitments. Look at your destination and the time frame. Are you really serious? If you are, then make the commitment to go. Make the commitment to yourself to go to such and such place on the date that you wrote down. The reality of what was 2 minutes ago is no longer the reality of now. By your commitment, your emotions have begun to change. The decision is causing your subconscious mind to change. Now, if you are really serious about that commitment, you will right now call or write a travel agency near your home and have them send you flight and tour information, all that they have on your planned destination. As you hang up the phone or finish the letter, you're going to feel different. What do you feel? Well, let's carry this exercise out further to the future. When you receive all the travel information, you'll look at it and decide on a specific tour. Call the travel agent and make the reservations. At what point in time do you start to feel good? At what point do you start to feel excited? When you get there? After you've gone? No. The point at which you start to feel good is the moment you conceive of your vacation in the mind. And that feeling intensifies as you make the decision leading to the actual trip. The moment you conceive it in the mind and hold the image is the point at which you start to build desire. Desire that will result in your taking that trip. You put some money aside. You notice clothes that would be appropriate to your destination. Your reality has changed, and yet you're not there. You begin to count down the days. It becomes closer and closer. You're scheduling the time off. You buy the last-minute stuff, and still you're not there. The reality is that you are still doing the exact things you always have been doing. Life still is going the same way. You're not on your vacation. Finally, the day comes, you get in the car or the taxi to go to the airport, and in reality, it's still the same. But your feelings are all different. Your desire is so powerful that you have manifested what you wanted and, in fact, are already reaping what you sowed. And still, you're not there. Yet you are experiencing the joy, the thrill, and the excitement. Finally, you arrive. At what point in time did you start feeling good, feeling okay? Before you got on the plane? Before you got the tickets? You began feeling good the moment you made the decision to go in the direction you wanted to go. You had to make the decision and the commitment to create what you wanted for reality. When you create in your mind what you want to be and make that decision, your whole being begins to change. This is desire. This is how you create desire. To have a burning, consuming desire, you must have that desire for something. This something I will call your definite main goal. Notice carefully the three words I use. Definite, meaning specific, main, indicating the most important, and goal, implying an end result. Each of the three words is equally important and a critical element for success. Each word is necessary in order that a burning desire can be created. Whatever it is you want, you can have, provided, number one, you can state specifically what it is. Number two, you want it so badly that it becomes a consuming desire in your life. Number three, you have faith in your ability to achieve it. Number four, you are persistent in your efforts. And number five, you are willing to pay the price for success, whatever that price may be. In one sentence, it is the formula for success. Be sure you understand it and commit it to memory. If you have not yet achieved the degree of success you desire, the problem lies in one of the five conditions, probably the first one. Studies indicate that 95% of the people in the United States do not have a definite main goal in life. They exist on a variety of wants and would likes. It's little wonder that this majority would be at the same place 10 years from now as they are today. So let us begin by finding out what your definite main goal is. What specifically do you want to achieve in your life? Before you go any further, stop and write down your answer to this question in as much detail as you can. If your answer is something along the lines of to be rich or to help make the world a better place or to spread peace throughout the world, then you're being about as definite as a 2-year-old when asked to describe the universe. Peace, love, and happiness are great, but they are not a definite main goal. They are not the stuff under which burning desires can be built. The problem with defining your definite goal is that you may have many desires, hopes, and aspirations, some of which are probably conflicting. To begin to make sense out of this picture, make three lists: things I want, things I want to become, and things I want to do. Put your strong desires and dreams down, regardless of whether or not you feel you can obtain them, and regardless of how ridiculous they may seem. You may find that as you continue to work through these manuscripts, you suddenly will think of new desires. For these are desires or wants that you have perhaps suppressed, feeling that they're unattainable. Listen carefully as your subconscious speaks to you. At this point, your list may seem like a hodgepodge of wants and likes. As you proceed, you will shift, arrange, and eliminate various goals. That is the process of arriving at your definite main goal. Begin by objectively reviewing your lists, striking out the insignificant or temporary desires. Combine those that are essentially the same. Make a decision between those that are conflicting, and after you've done this, your list should be substantially smaller, consisting only of those goals which are highly important to you and which will add a great meaning to your life. You may now wish to pause for a while with regards to your goals and give your subconscious time to do what it will do with this input. If you do so, by the end of 24 hours, you will find that you clearly know which of the remaining goals on your list are the most significant for you. As a general rule, each goal which remains on your list should meet these criteria: that it brings pleasure or eliminates pain for you or for a person dear to you without hurting or hindering in any way another person. If a goal cannot meet these criteria, it is not worthy of you. It must be eliminated or reworked. For if the success of your goal means the injury of another, then your success will be a hollow one, and the price will be awesome. You get back exactly what you give. The goals that remain on your list must be in harmony with each other. If there is a conflict between two goals, one must be eliminated. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It is not possible to achieve two conflicting goals, nor is it possible to build desire in two directions at once. If you have followed along with me to this point, doing the things I've described, you probably have been between one and five significant goals you wish to achieve. If you have more than five, then I'm going to suggest that you repeat the screening process and do it again and again until only those goals for which you can develop a burning desire for and commitment remain. Let us now begin by working with each goal separately. Start by writing a clear, concise statement of that goal. Be very specific. If you want to own your own business, then what type of business is it? How many employees? Where is it located? What is its gross annual sales? How much profit will you make? Who are your customers? Are you going to buy the business or create it? When? What service or product will you provide? The more precise the statement of your definite main goal, the better the chances of achieving that goal. A definite main goal commands respect. Think back to the great leaders, positive or negative, Churchill, Hitler, Jesus, Muhammad, Buddha. Is there any question in your mind as to their definite main goal? Their followers knew their goal and supported that goal. If you intend to be a leader of yourself or of others, you must know the direction to lead, your definite main goal. Imagine with me for a moment. In my mind, I have created an ultra-modern, newfangled think machine. It works like this. You attach a set of 3 electrodes to your head, turn it on, and the machine will create exactly whatever it is that you are visualizing. It creates instantly. Don't worry about it, how it does this. It just does. If you're thinking about a banana cream pie, it produces a banana cream pie. The same for a house, a car, a horse, or whatever. Let's say that I really want a Lincoln Continental. I would see in my mind the end product, the beautiful gleaming body, the chrome strips, the white sidewall tires. Now, if the machine kicked out exactly what I visualized, I would not have what I want. I would just have a shell, exactly what I saw. There would be no engine, no working parts, nothing to make the car run, because I did not visualize any of these things. However, if I want the machine to produce a totally functioning Continental, all I have to do is to see all of these parts in detail and see how they relate and function together. It's the same for you. You must see your definite main goal as an end product, and you must also see all the facets, all the details and workings that make up that end product. What you see is what you create, thoughts or things. If you feel like you are struggling with innumerable, unanswerable, detailed questions, know that I've been there also. Do you remember in the Book of Beginnings when I described going to my tutor and telling him I could not possibly teach that class? It made me ill. It was totally in violation of the principles. His response, "So do something about it." Was he not saying, form your own definite main goal? Be specific about what you do want to teach, how you want it to be. And then, when I got that part figured out, I asked if I could have his permission to teach the new class I had created. Do you know what his answer was? No. No, I could not have his permission. In my ignorance, I stated, that means I cannot teach it? And his response was, no, it didn't mean that either. He could neither give nor withhold permission. Only I could do that. So it is with your definite main goal. Nobody can give you permission to do it. No one will answer the questions for you. You must answer the questions yourself, for yourself. The decision to do is yours and yours alone. Suppose you plan one or more aspects of your definite main goal incorrectly. You select a product to sell that does not sell. Or you locate your computer company in Itsy Bitsyville, North Dakota, and then discover nobody there needs a computer. What is the result? The result is you know something that does not work. And you will be able to modify your definite main goal to make it even more specific. If you do nothing, make no decision, then you know absolutely nothing more. Knowing what does not work is almost as good as knowing what does work. You can't lose by making a decision. Edison discovered tungsten would work as a filament for electric light bulb only after trying thousands of substances that did not work. Every one of those substances that did not work gave him a better chance to find that certain combination which would work. You can't lose by making a decision. At this point, you will have a definite main goal in mind, one which is written down and specific. In order to get to that goal in the shortest time possible, you will need some sort of roadmap. The chances of aimlessly drifting there are rather slim. So let us now begin to roadmap the way to your goal. First, start by listing all the parts that make up your goal, both in terms of skills you need to have and the physical things you need to possess. Dig deep, for this is a very difficult task. Suppose this business you wish to set up is one in which you'll design, make, and sell handcrafted products. Here are some questions you'll have to ask yourself. First, the skill questions. Do I have the skill to make my product? Do I have the speed or mass production ability to make this a profitable idea? Do I have the ability to sell my product? Do I have the skill to manage others who will work for me? Do I have the skill to manage the cash flow, keep accurate books, and organize the mechanics of this business? Do I have the stamina to give it my all? Am I willing to accept the responsibility for whatever may happen? Here's the physical questions. Do I have a place to do my work? Do I have all the tools I need? Do I have a source of supply for materials? Do I have an outlet for finished product? Do I have the resources to pay my bills when I get started? Do I have a way to advertise and get my product known? Do I have a way of getting feedback on what I am producing? Do I have a way of getting my product to my customer? As you go through your own goal, you will find many more questions than these. The answers will form the stepping stones on your road to success. Arrange these stones so that you have a specific plan and time frame in which you are going to acquire the needed skills or physical things which lead toward your definite main goal. With each step you take toward your goal, you will find that your desire for that goal becomes more all-consuming. Each step is a decision, reaffirming your commitment to achieve the goal. Remember the example of your dream vacation? Each step, deciding on the place, getting brochures, making reservations, increase the desire until you experience the joy, the thrill, the excitement of the trip even before you left. Now do it with your definite main goal. Fortunately, everyone does this process of deciding on a goal and building desire correctly some of the time by accident. The classic case is that of a young man dating a girl. What is natural is to be successful, as you will see. It is not necessary to have a tutor or a manual. All the knowledge you need is within. Now let's get back to our young man. Sometime between the ages of 6 and 18, he is going to create his perfect woman. He will think of this woman and will see in his mind her image. All he will have at this point is her image. As time goes along, he will see in greater detail this image. On a scale of 1 to 10, she'll obviously be a 10. He will see and know all about her. Then the next thing that will happen is he will start to see himself with her. He will see them doing things together. This is the starting point of desire, the starting point of all achievement. The next thing that comes is faith. Through the visualization of being together, he begins to believe in the reality of what can be. For the subconscious mind, the thoughts are the seed, the desire, the fertilizer, the faith is what grows. So now he has the faith that someday she will come. He starts looking for her. Everywhere he goes, he looks for her, east, west. He starts planning specifically how he can meet her, where they will meet. Through imagination, he sees the meeting, how it will go. Before the first date, he plans the proper dress and the proper place. Everything is set like clockwork. Then he makes the decision. I'm going to marry her. Maybe she says no, so he keeps trying, convincing her. Finally, she says yes. Together now, they have a conscious agreement that they are going to get married. He gets an emotional commitment that they're going to get married. They have that chemistry going for them. They have created a mastermind that will cause his goal to become a reality. Do you have any doubt that they will get married, even if his parents oppose? Even if he is black and she is white, even if he is a citizen of one country and she of another, even if they speak different languages. Can you see this young man has gone through the entire process of being successful naturally? In fact, he may do it many times. It's natural. However, what is intellectual and what is socially acceptable and what is fashionable are not necessarily natural. Our intellect has gotten us into a lot of trouble. It has gotten us away from being natural. It is natural to be successful. Most of us just hope and wish for something. We are not definite like the young man above. If you had a handful of wishes and a handful of mud, of which would you have the most? It's very important that you understand this point. Wishing and hoping are not desire. Desire is a very definite, precise image, a specific goal that you hold in your mind. Back in the summer of 1973, I had images, precise ones, that were in my mind. And what is so is that today they are reality. It is only a matter of time. A measure of success is how quickly one can change thoughts into reality. I have said that everyone correctly follows the process for being successful some of the time. John Average Man does it accidentally. It just happens. This time it worked. He neither knows nor understands why it has worked. He is what I call an unconscious competent. Jonathan Spectacular, on the other hand, knows the rules and laws of success. He plays his life according to the rules. He knows the results ahead of time and, in fact, plans those results. There is no difference between John and Jonathan. Not a difference in intellect, nor in background, nor in sex, nor in race, nor in creed, nor a difference in how much money they have, nor a difference in how many ideas they create. Those are just the justifications, the excuses. And what I want to tell you now is you don't have any more excuses. You don't even have the excuse that you have not finished these manuscripts. All that you need to be a conscious competent, you already have, right now. Isn't that exciting? I get really enthusiastic about that. Enthusiasm is that special quality that makes things happen. I think of it as the wind that whips the flames of desire into a burning inferno. In reality, enthusiasm is just a state of mind, an emotion, which you control. Enthusiasm is the excitement you feel and express when you have the faith in your ability to realize your desires. Remember when you have been enthusiastic? How much easier it was to get the tasks done? How time flew? How obstacles vanished, or at least could be overcome? How much easier it was to communicate? Did you also notice how your enthusiasm was transmitted to those around you? I don't know of anything more contagious than enthusiasm. Put a high school cheerleader in a class on Friday before a football game, and you know exactly what I mean. Now suppose the teacher, to calm down the class, gives a pop quiz or test. Oops, all that enthusiasm simply dries up. How much more, I wonder, would students learn if that teacher had used some enthusiasm in the lesson? Cheers for objectives or adverbs. Why not? It's just a thought. Enthusiasm is just a state of mind, an emotion which you control. By control, I mean you can create it. If you want to be enthusiastic right now, this very second, you can create it. To start, just think about the work or service you'd like to do best. Can you feel a change, maybe a smile on your face? Now, take that positive feeling and transfer it to your definite main goal. Sense the feeling that you'll have when your goal is achieved. Make a list now, right now, of all the positive, good things that you will have or can do when your goal is a reality. If there is someone with you now whom you trust, share your list with them. Now, how are you feeling? Better? But you say, I don't have the capital to start a new business that I'm dreaming about, or I don't have the right college degrees. How can I really get enthusiastic? Get this very clear. No one controls your mind but you. No one can prevent you from formulating your definite main goal. No one can halt your planning for the accomplishment of that goal. No one can stop you from becoming enthusiastic about those plans. And that is a fact. I do a lot of seminars with prisoners. They have some very real physical constraints with which to deal. And believe me, those men and women understand that there are no prisons for the mind except those we build ourselves. There is a very simple way to keep yourself enthusiastic about that definite main goal. It is this. Don't let the sun set without taking a bite out of the road to your goal. After so many bites, what is going to happen? You'll get there. You'll get enthusiastic. My assistant is one of the most enthusiastic, energetic people I know. I asked her how she kept up her enthusiasm. Why? It's easy, she said. I just love what I'm doing. I want to master all these Psi principles, and I can't think of a better place to do that. Each day, I just get closer, and that's really exciting. She's taken a bite out of her road every day. How about you? I have a challenge for you. How enthusiastic can you be tomorrow? Can you be enthusiastic enough to make the first person you see smile? Can you be enthusiastic enough to get someone else excited? Can you be enthusiastic enough to get the whole town turned on? A country, the world. Where's the limit? The Charter to PsyWorld reads as follows. Authorized to do business in any state in the United States and in any country or nation of the world or anywhere in the universe. I think that says something about the level of Psy's enthusiasm and desire. Your definite main goal is a set of thoughts, thoughts you control. Desire is an emotion which you create and control. Enthusiasm is a state of mind also subject to your control. Desire plus enthusiasm is the pulsating force to create things from thought. I started out this book with the idea that thoughts are things, and we have come exactly back to that same point. Thoughts are the only things.